Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun. Listening to the ghost host Sophia Temporilli on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, this is Jason Gates of Haunted Collector, and I just wanted to say congratulations to the ghost host Sophia Temporilli for celebrating over 2 years in broadcasting on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holder, and you're listening to ghost host Sophia Temporilli.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to the ghost host with Sophia Temporilli on liveparanormal.com.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to ghost host, Sophia Temporilli.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the ghost host, Sophia Temporilli, on liveparanormal.com.
I'm sorry, it's the ghost host show, Sophia Temporilli, on liveparanormal.com. I'm John Temporilli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me? By the late famed Fox Sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James. This is hands down the world's most unique paranormal broadcast. Each and every week, 14-year-old Sophia Temporilli brings you the latest hot topics in the field of the paranormal, and has been doing so since she was 12. Congratulations on over 2 years of broadcasting here on liveparanormal.com and History FM, Sophia. And also, thank you to Rob Sarek, the site founder of liveparanormal.com and History FM, for providing this format each and every week. And congratulations, too, on all the new FM and AM terrestrial markets that have been picked up, so people are actually listening on radios, too, across the nation and the broadcast globally as well. So congratulations, Rob. Great show today. We have paranormal researcher of Eastern Paranormal, Fabian Pierre Tran. Oh, sorry, something just blasted music in the background there. And Ben Hansen of Factor Fake Paranormal Files. We'll be checking in with Ben, too. I want to thank the moderating crew here, Rhonda, Mr. Savalon, Carla, Lexi Doyle, Claude Abel, Kevin Micah. Guys, thank you so much when we do the live remote events for patching us in and picking things up, and we don't always have a signal and everything, and getting all the pre-show glitches out, getting people in the chat room to the players and everything. So if you haven't done so already, feel free to jump into liveparanormal.com chat room. As well, feel free to call into the show at any time, 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. And let me get over here. Let me post that in the chat room really quick so everybody getting in there right now can see it, get to it. And there we go. There's the phone number in the liveparanormal.com chat room. And what happened to my notes again? Oh, there we go. Today's broadcast, again, Eastern Paranormal Team researcher Fabian Pierre-Trahan and also Sci-Fi Channel's Factor Fake Paranormal Files key coordinating televised researcher Ben Hansen. Peter James' birthday tribute show next Saturday, September 28th. So feel free to call in all the sentiments and memories that you have of Peter James on sightings and unexplained mysteries and what he meant to you as well. That's next Saturday. Brothers Brad and Barry Kling of Discovery Channel's Ghost Lab will be on air live October 12th. Jason Gates of Sci-Fi Channel's Haunted Collector, October 19th here on the show. Just added Bio Channel Stalked by a Ghost celebrity clairvoyant Cindy Goldenberg. On the show, they just put Cindy. So we kind of had to research that one. But she's looking forward to coming on the show. That's going to be October 26th, just before Halloween. Dana Workman of Sci-Fi Channel's Haunted Highway with Jack Osborne, November 16th, to talk about the new season. Beyond Expo Film Festival, Queen Mary event founder Susan Bell and coordinator Psychic Mike Loop of the event held aboard the Queen Mary. That's November 23rd. Cassandra Peterson and Elvira, also known as Mistress of the Dark, that we remember it so well fondly. Me too, as a 12-year-old boy, I think, too, might have something to do with that. Special interview and show message coming soon. So you don't want to miss any of these upcoming shows. And collective prayers, too, today for River Avenue Don. He's undergoing therapies and just a lot of the stresses that he has. He has to catch the archive shows and things. So any collective prayers you can do throughout the day or feelings of comfort and warmth just to alleviate some of the stresses from all the testing and things he's currently undergoing. And also, too, like the Ghost Host on LiveParanormal.com Facebook fan page. Learn about the guests as we learn of them in real time. And also, too, like LiveParanormal.com Facebook group page, too, as well. And support all the vendors here on LiveParanormal.com. They keep the lights on and everything here at the network. So if you're getting Grandma a Melmeter for Christmas, make sure you do it right here at LiveParanormal.com from the vendors. Also, check out the membership packages. They start as low as $2.99 a month. Rob's great about rewarding his audience here at LiveParanormal.com, so all the signed DVDs and everything from the Ghost Hunters guys to Ghost Adventures guys, Rob's great about rewarding everybody here. Okay, paranormal team, psychics, paranormal capture enthusiast, anybody, this is you. ParanormalContest.com. Go to ParanormalContest.com or see the homepage of LiveParanormal.com under the thumbnail contest. Okay, now, the formats are photo, audio, and best video. Cash and merchandise prizes, $100 is a top prize, 100% unbiased judging. Also, you get the banner support right here, too, as well for your captures. So get those captures submitted right away. The contest ends soon. Enter them at liveparanormal@aol.com. That's liveparanormal@aol.com. And here's the event, Beyond Expo Film Festival, just announced this week, so still in the early stages. It's going to be aboard the Queen Mary this coming March, so March of 2014. It's going to be the 13th through the 16th for the entire weekend aboard the ship. And 100% of the proceeds are going to help the children with Down syndrome, the foundation, the Diana Bell Foundation. Celebrity lineup includes Andrea Perlin, Travis Short, Vernon Wells, he's the guy that gave Mel Gibson the hard time in The Road Warrior, and Dr. Sean Pacino, Guy Grundy of Gladiator and former Mr. Australia, Kelly Coffey of YouTube's Kelly and the Raw, Psychic Mike Loop, Peter J. Serrano, Serenity Moore, Don Short, author Meredith Jones. I will be giving a tribute to Peter James, and also to Sophia will be broadcasting live. She'll be presenting, doing a Q&A as well about her LiveParanormal.com show. And just announced, pioneering paranormal researcher Lorraine Warren and Tony Spira will be on hand as well aboard the ship, the Queen Mary there. This is going to be fantastic. More will be added along the way, still very early stages. There will be celebrity red carpet, black tie dinner, presentation, Q&A, masquerade ball, onboard seances, psychic readers, paranormal investigations, after-hour paranormal investigations. So definitely check out the event. Go to beyondexpo.us, beyondexpo.us. It's going to kick off the next season next year of all the paranormal expos. Tonight on LiveParanormal.com, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, Paranormal Chronicles, Paranormal Icon, Get Mesmerized, Boundaries of Reality, Raven's Nest, Paranormal Insomniacs, after-hour webcam, and mic chat. So that the paranormal never has to stop here today. So, and also too, as always, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State and Psychic Kids is on this very network every Monday night. So definitely show the love for Chip over there Monday nights. archive shows. If you miss anything, get bumped out of liveparanormal.com chat room. You can go to liveparanormal.com/ghosthost.html. And also, two free MP3 iTunes downloads are available soon after the show airing. And as always, Peter James will be taking your calls. And Peter, thank you.
John, talk to me, John.
Peter, thank you each and every week for coming back and taking the calls of all the guests that come on the show. We wouldn't be a part of this field if it wasn't for you.
I'm here to help you.
Thank you, Peter. And let's see here. Let me get our host up here. Let's see which one. I got to check the levels here. And let's see.
Come through. Speak to me.
Okay, thank you, Peter. Sophia, you there?
What?
Sophia, hello.
Hello.
Are you, yeah, you're real muted right there. Can you? Is there something you can do to bring up the volume?
No.
Okay, well, you got to speak up, I guess. Well, it's real faint. Maybe it's my phone.
Well, then yes, it is your phone.
Oh, let's see. Well, you got a friend coming over hanging out today?
No.
Oh, you guys are rescheduling?
Yeah, remember Mom's sick?
Yeah, Mom's got a cold she woke up with.
Yeah, you don't want to get
up.
People sick, Dad.
Yeah, I know. We hope Mom gets better. But, yeah, that's probably best you rescheduled and everything. Well, that was cool that you were on with Stefan Brigati Tuesday on My Darkest Hour here on Live Paranormal. That was cool hanging out with Stefan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's always a good guy. Oh, good. I got your levels up. Sounds good. Also, too, Dr. Phil and Ricky Lake Show Studio Psychic and FBI Cold Case Intuitive Profiler, Jennifer Schaefer. She's having you on her CBS radio show October 22nd. And that's going to be at 5 p.m., which is 8 p.m. Eastern. So go to newskyradio.com. That's newskyradio.com. Sophia, congratulations on 2 years in broadcasting.
Thank you, Dad. Dad, guess what comes out October 19th? Assassin's Creed Black Flag. Everyone, you should go buy it, except not before I do, because I have a pre-order card, and that would really suck if you guys got it, and then I would have this stupid card, and they would be out of stock.
Right, so everybody, don't con the wheel that Sophia's trying to get in there and purchase something.
Go get it, but after I do.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sure they're keeping tabs on that. There's going to be a little receipt that's just out there in cyber world that says, okay, Sophia's made her purchase. You can go buy your items now.
Yes. Yes, there will.
Okay, that's how it works.
Sure. I'm drinking.
Okay, yeah, everybody. And again, if you just made it into the show, I know a lot of people are still getting things loaded and that kind of thing. Feel free to call into the show, 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. And jump into the liveparanormal.com chat room if you haven't done so already. It only takes a second to sign in, give yourself an avatar, you know, anything you want. And you're in. You're part of the liveparanormal.com family. And, yeah, look at everybody showing up there. You know, Peter, look at them in the chat room.
She said she's caught. Did you hear that?
No, Peter, they're not caught. They're in the chat room. They're willingly. They're in there. They don't need, you know, cleared or moved on. They're your co-host is trying to crawl onto my lap here. No, you're too big, bub. Come on. No, come on. We're trying to run a show here. You want to say hi to everybody? Lucas? Okay, there you go. Come on. Move. All right. Okay, come on. Up, up, up. Come on. It's a 78-pound dog. I can't get him to move.
You're
professional. I know. This in the Deluxe, like, paranormal.com studios. All right, hold on. Let's bring our...
Talk to me.
Okay, let me bring Fabian. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, how's it going there, G?
Great.
Can you hear me
Fabian's
okay?
Fabian's with... Yeah, we hear you fine. And everybody, to play along, go to easternparanormal.com, and I'll have you mention your sites, too. So start there. And, yeah, thanks so much, Fabian.
Yeah, I was trying to get into the chat room, but for some reason the link is broken, and I'm having a trouble getting in there.
Thank you for having me on my show.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. I logged in, and I went to your show, but I'm not being able to get in. I'm logged into Live Paranormal, and I've got my green little box going on, but I can't seem to get into the chat. I wanted to chat with some of the people.
Yeah, we got people in chat. Let's see. Yeah, have you gone to the main page? Have you tried that? The main, just regular liveparanormal.com?
Yes, sir. I'm going to actually try to refresh again to see if I can get it to work. Let's see here. Nope, don't look like it's going to work. That's okay. Anyway, how y'all doing today?
Great, thanks.
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great, Sophia. Congratulations on your 2 years.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on my show also.
And also, yeah, thank you. It's reciprocal. Thank you for letting me be with you guys.
Oh, definitely. Thanks.
Well, thank
been looking
for
forward to it.
On.
Huh? What'd you say, sweetie? I couldn't hear you.
I just wanted to say thank you for coming on my show.
Absolutely. It is a privilege and an honor to be with Jen, who equally loves Peter James as much as me. It's sad that we lost him in 2007. He was such a great visionary for the paranormal research and sightings. And I mean, I remember great memories of Peter, and it's wonderful that y'all are keeping his memory alive. He was such an incredible person, and I was lucky to have him visit my website back in the early 2000s before his passing, and I was honored to have gotten to know him in my little chat domain at the time, which is archaic by today's standards.
Oh, wow. No, thanks. Thanks so much.
So to start off, Fabian, tell us about your incredible mentor, Gabriel Goodman of agelessknowledge.tv and to your PGR founder, noted resident psychic author and lecturer.
Yeah, that's Gabrielle. Gabrielle is someone who had invited me on to her show, on her radio show in 2005. I'd done an interview with her. She had found my website through a friend. I believe it was West Virginia Mountain Mama Ghost Hunters. And they were talking about my website, about my Ghost Cam website. They got together, and Gabrielle went and visited my website and found it to be very interesting. So she interviewed me back in 2005 regarding my Ghost Cam research, which is something that I found fascinating. I got people to get together and set up webcams in places where they thought the areas were haunted. And over a period of about 5 to 6 years, I've gotten plenty of incredible captures and information, but unfortunately I had a computer crash and I lost three-quarters of all of that when my hard drive had crashed, all the documented image files. I only got a few that were left. But Gabrielle was very fascinated with my ghost cam research, and she agreed to interview me. And over the years, we became really good friends, and she became my mentor and included me into EasternParanormal.com as one of the members. I became a field researcher for her in the Northeast Tennessee, Southwest Virginia, what we call the Tri-Cities area here. And she is just a wonderful person. Ageless Knowledge TV is something that she does now. It's a cornucopia of information regarding the paranormal. If you go to agelessknowledge.tv, you'll find a diversified amount of information regarding the paranormal. But Gabrielle is not only my mentor. She's a personal friend, and I'm honored and very lucky to know her.
Wow.
So, due to a personal set of paranormal experiences on Texas Plantation Farmhouse in 1976, Fabian, tell us, how did you become involved in co-forming Eastern Paranormal in Wilmington, North Carolina, and what did those initial experiences during the 70s involve?
Well, when I was a kid, we had moved into a farmhouse in Pierce, Texas. It was out in the sticks. It was actually a very large farmhouse. It's like, if you've ever seen the structures in South Texas, they're plantation-esque, and they're very large with like about 10 to 15 rooms and three baths. This was three baths and 11 rooms. It was a very large equivalent to what you would call a manor house or possibly even an Victorian era mansion. And we had rented the house. We were caretakers of the land, my brother and my sister-in-law. They raised me. And we had lived on the land. And they had betrothed the house to us for, back then, $200 a month, which was incredible. But we found out later on why nobody wanted to move into the big house. I found out firsthand. I was my very first experience with the paranormal was when I was laying in a bathtub. I was in the upstairs bathroom in one of those giant bathtubs, you know, the kind that has the feet, you know, where you can just sit down in it. If you're not careful, you'll drown in it because it's so large.
Oh, you slide under, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'd done all my chores for the day and came in and went upstairs and settled into a nice hot bath. And there's a vanity mirror hanging on the door to my left. And I was just laying in the bathtub, relaxed, at about that state where you're about to fall asleep. I noticed that right where you're in that state where you're still awake, but you're kind of going into that dream where you're fading in and out state, I looked
right
out of the corner of my eye. I could see this this ball of blue light forming, and it was in the mirror, and it was forming to my left in the mirror, and the ball was growing in intensity, and it was scaring me. I woke up, but I didn't jump and run. I knew that something fantastic was happening, and I didn't know how to react, so naturally I just kind of froze up and stayed in the bathtub, didn't move. The light grew larger and larger, and it, like it was coming closer to me in the mirror, and eventually it changed into like a triangle shape, and then the triangle shape, the light dimmed, and there was a girl standing in the mirror staring at me. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see the girl staring at me through the mirror, and I was terrified, and the bathroom was beginning to get a little cold, you know what I'm saying, where you get this, the cold ambient waves of light. And here in South Texas, in the late summer, it's not, you know, that's not normal. You're not sitting up in the bathroom. It's generally a very hot, humid climate. But here's all this dry, cool air coming into the bathroom, and there's something staring at me. The rest of my family was out of town, about 60 miles south in Victoria, and they were at a kegger. And I'm sitting in this bathtub, and this is happening to me, and it's like a dream, but I knew it wasn't a dream. I knew that it was happening, and as I just sat there for several minutes, terrified, petrified, unable to move. And finally, I got the courage to turn to look at it. And the girl, by the way, she was in a blue dress with white ruffles. I was beginning to get a mental image of the girl. She had dark hair. She looked to be about 10 to 12 years old, just staring at me. And she was wearing the blue ruffly dress, black shoes, kind of white socks. And then I turned to look at it, and as I turned to look at it, a flash, boom, she was gone. And I'm staring at myself in the mirror with tears coming out of my eyes because I'm terrified. After
wow.
that experience, I knew that there was, I mean, not everybody is supposed to see something like that. So I knew immediately that I had one of two choices. I had to decide whether or not, by the way, I was going on 8 years old, just so you know my age. When I went back to school for several weeks, I didn't say anything for fear of ridicule. By the way, something I forgot to mention. Up to that point, things had been happening in the house. Right before the point of that happening, I was being blamed for things in the house that I was supposedly doing. I was leaving the water running in the kitchen, turning lights on, leaving them on instead of shutting them off in the different rooms. Stuff like that. And I kept telling my brother and my sister-in-law, I'm not doing these things, but they were blaming me for them. And I was getting punished for stuff that I wasn't even doing. I actually thought my older brother was just doing it to be mean. But anyway,
wow.
And then it came to a crescendo when I had that experience in the bathroom. I'm sorry I didn't put that in there first, Sophia.
Well,
but anyway, back to the, yes.
Oh, I was going to say, I found that interesting. Now, you said you had a pictured image of her before you actually saw her? Or you?
Well, no. As I was laying in the bathtub, the image was manifesting in my mind and out of the corner of my eye. It's really hard to explain.
Wow.
But staring, I refused to look at the mirror because I was terrified. But as I was staring there, petrified, looking forward, looking at the faucets of the bathtub and at the end of my feet, out of the left corner of my eye, there was something manifesting from a ball. It went from a ball to like a triangle, and from a triangle. And at the time, it was like a light bluish glowing light. And all the time this was happening, the bathroom's getting colder, and the image of this girl is forming, but it's hard to explain because it's not being able to literally see it. You know your blind spot, when you turn your head a certain way, you can't see after a certain point. It was that point where you turn your head and you can't, you're not supposed to see anything. This is where it was all happening. I could see it, but it was in my mind. I didn't turn to look at it and see it. As I told you, it vanished.
Yeah, and our former resident, Sophia, saw someone. How did you see it? You picture, it was a mental image?
Yeah. Yeah, it was being translated into my mind as a mental image through the corner of my eye. It's really hard to explain.
Yeah, Sophia, is that how you saw the person?
No, it was literally just like if there was a picture there. Like, it didn't form. It was just like a picture.
Now,
wow.
Sophia, let me get to the rest of the story. What you have just said may actually hold some water to the latter part of the story, if y'all don't mind me continuing.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Okay, after that point when I went back to school, for fear of ridicule, I didn't say anything. I didn't tell anybody anything. And at some point, I got to the point where, you know, I would hear people walking upstairs. As soon as that happened.
Oh, Fabian? Yeah, show Fabian still on the line, but, yeah, your audio just went. Yeah, Fabian? Yeah, we might need Fabian to call back in. Let's see here. Let me see if it's something on my end. His audio just dropped. Do you have a mute button on your phone, Fabian, or something might have gotten pushed? Yeah, let me see here. Yeah, we don't have any audio for Fabian. It shows that his mic's open. Let's see here what I can do. 3. Yeah, Fabian, if you can hear me, if you could see if you can hit a mute button or... see what we could do.
While we were sitting there, they flew out. And then about
you're back on.
I'm sorry?
Oh, sorry, we lost your audio for a moment there.
Oh, that's okay. I'll just say that the TV plug flew right out of the wall while we were downstairs
okay.
in the den.
Okay.
About Sophia, what I was saying about Sophia, at some point, I got the courage to confront someone about what I'd seen, and it turned out to be the librarian. She was always talking about ghosts and spirits. And so I started reading a bunch of books on the subject at the elementary school. And then I had the courage to ask the librarian. I knew she was big on Halloween and ghosts, so I went to her privately and asked her about ghosts and everything, and I told her what house we lived in, and her jaw dropped when I told her where we lived. That's when I found out that the house we lived in was well known in the area for being haunted. And
wow.
That the reason we got the house for a song was because the no one wanted to stay in the house for long. Most people would come there, take care of the land for one summer and leave. We lived there 3 years. And she told me, she said, after I told her about my experience, she showed me something called microfiche. We went to the microfiche machine, and she started pulling up newspaper articles. She showed me where a girl had drowned in the house. She had the daughter of Shanghai Pierce, the man who ran the land. His daughter drowned in apparently one of the bathtubs. And I'm pretty sure it was the bathtub that I was in. And they showed me pictures of the girl. It was a picture of the girl, and her name was Abigail
wow.
Pierce. And this is where I was talking about Sophia. Sophia may have picked up on whenever I saw her picture in the on the microfiche.
Ah.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So
yeah.
I did, Sophia. I did see what she looked like, but unfortunately, it wasn't what I seen. I didn't see her face very clearly. I just saw like a fluctuating waves of ambiguous energy in the form of a girl. It's really hard to explain. All I know is that it kicked me on into on mode, and from that point on, I have been trying to find out what they are, what they want, what reason why they haven't went on. Just various reasons. Whenever I've had time over the years, I've done experiments and stuff like that. And then when the internet came about, it was a playground. I knew that I could start doing more with technology. I'd read a lot of books on the subject and realized that I wasn't alone. There were a great deal many people in the world that have had experiences with the paranormal. I was raised not to be afraid of the dark. I was raised to not believe in such nonsense. I was raised to believe that such things were moot and taboo, and you weren't supposed to even think about stuff like that. And when it happened to me, my mind went from being closed to wide open. And about what you were asking me, Sophia, later on, I've just decided that I wanted to find out the answer to why what happened to me, and find a collection of other people that it has happened to. So therefore, I realized that I was clairsentient. I can't see them straight on, but I can sense them and see them in my mind, Jan, like you were asking about mental pictures. So.
Wow, right.
I hope that answers your question. I'm sorry I'm going long, but this is an interview. I want to be thorough.
Thanks.
But I want to have fun, too. I want to have fun. I've been listening to your all shows. I really enjoyed your two-year anniversary show, and
cool.
I just want to relax and let you ask me what you want to ask me, and I'll be happy to tell you whatever you need to know.
I want to let everybody. How do you say your last name?
It's Trahan. That's the Southern way of saying it, but it's Trahan.
Oh, okay.
Trahan, but I go by Trahan. It's Cajun French.
Yeah.
I'm Cajun.
Yeah. I want to let everybody know, it's Fabian Pierre Trahan, and go to FabianTrahan.com. I'll post the links in the chat room, Ectophobia.com, EasternParanormal.com. Fabian's with Eastern Paranormal. This is the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Feel free to call into the show, too, as well. I put the number in the chat room, 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. And jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room if you haven't done so already. And, go ahead, Sophia.
Fabian, do you, any of your kids have an interest in the paranormal field?
Yes, actually, both of my daughters have claimed that they have seen and heard things, similarly to myself. My daughter, Chelsea, is a sensitive. She's like me, but she doesn't see them, but she can feel them. My daughter Courtney actually claims that she can see them. We have a black man that walks the property here where we live, and he's towards the front of the house and walks to an area towards the back of the garden. The property that we purchased here in Greene County was incorporated, I believe, around 1790s, before it even became the state of Tennessee. It was once the state of North Carolina. And there's a rich history in this entire area that I live in. And the girls claim that they have felt and sensed. I'm going to post an image for Jan on Facebook, something that I've been meaning to do. I had my daughter describe what she saw, and I drew it using MS Paint. And it's a very interesting image. So, Jan, you can look that as Sauce for the Goose later on when you get time, buddy.
Can
look at the picture of the man, that the mysterious black man that roams the property here. I have sensed someone myself. My daughters, yeah, they claim they are interested in the paranormal, but they're interested. I had to teach them not to be afraid of what they sense, because they have open minds, but we got to be careful about how open our minds are, and I'm sure you guys know that very well. I'll tell you right now, just on the straight up, I don't like Ouija boards. I think Ouija boards can be very dangerous when you open portals. You got to be careful who you're talking to using a ghost box. I know it's all theoretical. The ghost box is a device, in theory, that uses instrument transcommunication. So if you're opening doors, you got to make sure that you don't open them too wide and that you know how to close them. And that's just a little something I wanted to throw in there to everyone listening.
Well, you have great audio captures. I tried to capture a few, but I had to hold the recorder to the speakers, and it came out real tin canny and things. But the full, you can go to ectophobia.com. That's ECTO. So ectophobia.com, and hear those sessions.
Thank you, Jan.
When I try
also,
to get them.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, I'm going to have you back on the show if we can, you know, sometime in the future too,
so that
I can actually. I'll try to get some better audio quality out of those because, yeah, they were YouTube, and that was about the only way I was able to pull anything, and it was like,
Actually, do you know there's a program called Frostwire, and if you go to Frostwire, you can pull my audio. You can pull my audio immediately right off of Frostwire. I'm tongue-tied today. Good coffee, though. You got to go to Frostwire and download their program. You can type my first and last name in there, and you'll get all of my audio. And you can pull my audio that way using the YouTube. It'll come up on YouTube. Frostwire pulls audio from YouTube.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'll try that because, yeah, you probably don't know, but I'm not great with computers. So thanks for the tip on that. I'm definitely going to look that up.
Oh, and Jan, and Sophie, by the way, I'm sorry, Jan?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, were you able to load any of my audio in the queue?
Yeah, I don't have it. It was real tin canny. It's still in I still have it in the digital recorder, but it's just really almost monofilament sounding. Because I was trying to get it out through the speaker. I don't know if it was my setting maybe too, but Oh, go ahead.
Well, I got a question. Do you want me to try to do it from this end and possibly load something? Well, I'm going to try. I really got some what I think are incredible beyond the pale captures. I mean, the odds of me getting the responses that I've gotten they're immeasurable.
Yeah,
I've
great
got
captures.
Some really, yeah, thank you, sir. And it's unfortunate I lost most of my visual captures from the Ghost Cam website. I believe that I've made up for that with these audio captures. The first three ghost boxes, well, the first four, because the third one is part one and two of Montgomery, Alabama. All those first four ghost boxes, the very first ghost box, see, Gabrielle, now back to what Sophia had asked me, Gabrielle Goodman is the one who gave me the ghost box as a birthday present, and I didn't really know anything about it. She mailed it to me and sent it to me and said she thought I would like it. So I figured, well, I put it in the 18-wheeler with me, and for those of you that don't know, I'm a truck driver. I drive an 18-wheeler, and my region is north, east, southeast, and some parts of the west and midwest, but I fortunately never would get out to California. Boy, I sure would like to see you guys, though. But,
yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, it would. Maybe someday. I mean, who's to say I won't be able to get down there? There's a lot of people that I want to go out and see in that area. But anyway, I'm sorry.
Or that we can't make it out of your way.
Well, if you have a con out here, let me know, and if I can schedule a time off, I can come see y'all at a con. I'm sure you do something in the Northeast. By the way, Eastern Paranormal is based out of Wilmington, North Carolina, on the other end of I-40. If you know anything about Los Angeles, then you know that Los Angeles, there's a sign that says Wilmington, 2,400 miles. It's on right there where 15 meets I-40, right where you're at Barstow. See, I used to drive for a company that allowed me to drive through California, so I remember the sign that said Wilmington, 2,400 miles. I-40 runs in the entire breadth of our country. So,
wow.
Yeah, anyway, I'm sorry. I know I'm getting off subject there. But anyway, if you ever get to Wilmington or get to Bristol, Tennessee, Virginia, or Knoxville, Tennessee, or even Winston-Salem, North Carolina, if you guys ever get down that way, please let me know. I'd love to come out and see y'all.
Well, definitely.
Okay.
So,
go ahead, Sophia.
Oh, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to elaborate on the talking point that we were discussing earlier about Gabrielle. Gabrielle is the very first person that, that took great notice in my work. Other than some other friends, I got a friend named Laura Smith, and her mother, Jean Smith. They were some of my first biggest and greatest fans. I was going to throw a shout out to them later, but then there was Gabrielle. She came in and through the West Virginia Mountain Mama Ghost Hunters. Michelle Shell Rubis, a good great friend of mine, researchers with the West Virginia Mountain Mama Ghost Hunters Society. They were some of the first people. Yeah, no, I love it. They were some of the first people that took notice of my research. Now, I don't know if you remember this, Jan, but the largest groups that ever took notice in me were the OKCGC Hospital. Do you remember that?
A VA hospital?
No, the Oklahoma City Ghost Club. Do you remember them?
No, actually.
They had a hospital that had webcams set up in it throughout the hospital. The hospital was, I had some of my greatest captures from that hospital. They allowed me to use their webcam images, and on the Ghost Cam ZX website back in the early and the mid-2000s, they were the first group that Robert Cosgrove and his son Brian are the ones that allowed me to start my website out using the OKCGC cams. That group no longer is around on the internet, but it was researchwebcam.com back during the era. But Peter James knew who they were, and he was often either actually a couple of times had told me he would like to went out there and done an investigation at the hospital there in Oklahoma City, but. Anyway, I was just going to let you know that they were the first group that took notice in FabianTrahan.com. Gabrielle later on found out about my webcams through the girls, and the girls had seen me through the hospital. And then in a chain reaction of things, Sophia, that's how I got to know Gabrielle, through word of mouth, but people finding my website. If you ever do a Google search on Fabian Trahan Ghost Cams, there's a lot of archived websites that reflected. Have you ever heard of True TV?
Yes.
TV still has, they still have my link on their website, even though it's been dead for many years. And but anyway, Gabrielle is a sweetheart, and I'm honored to know her, and I just thought I'd bring that up again about my mentors. I didn't want to leave OKCGC out, even though they no longer exist. I'm sorry for running long on that.
No.
So, can you describe your trucking ghost box session?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that was it. Thanks.
No, you were going to say a date. It sounded like you were fixing to say on. I'm sorry for interrupting you. I love the talk, can't you tell?
Yeah. Well, that one, it was Wilson, North Carolina, and, you know, you got the name burned, and you got some names, actually, in the session.
Yeah, let me tell you about that. I'd be happy to, because it was the very first Ghost Box session that I'd ever done. I'm glad you brought that up. It's like you picked up on that, Sophia. I actually broke my train of thought. Gabrielle, let's go back. I'm going to rewind and go back to where I was originally talking about Gabrielle giving me the ghost box for my birthday three years ago. Let's see. Has it been 3 years? Let's see. 2010 is when she gave it to me, November of 2010. I got it in the mail from her, and I put it in the truck with me, and she told me she thought it would be a great little thing, and we were talking about the whole ITC thing, and about Dr. Ernest Senkowski. I'm not sure if you know who that was. He's the guy that coined the instrumental transcommunication in the late 70s and early 80s. We were having a discussion about also the guy who invented the ghost box, and I can't remember his name right now. The fellow that actually came up with the way to go into the radio and set it on a cycling loop. Then she said, well, did I want one? And I said, sure. Yeah, sure. So she sent me one for my birthday. I put it in the truck. And I had it in the truck from November of 2010 and it sat up in the glove box and collected dust. And then in April of 2011, when I was parked in Wilson, North Carolina, I was parked next to a burned-out farm. I was sitting at a consignee, which is the receiving people that I was going to deliver my load to. I was sitting on their gravel lot, parked next to this farm in Wilson, North Carolina. And I was actually, I took a nap, I fell asleep. I woke from a dead sleep. I had been dreaming about a fire. And when I woke up, my eyes were trained. I was sitting in the driver's seat. And I woke up and looked across the field, and there was an old farm. You could tell it had been there, it burnt, and then you know how a building's burnt and then it sat for many years, you know, kind of grayish black embers and all that laying around it. I just stared out, rolled my driver's side window down, and I put two and two together. I felt something after I'd had that dream. I woke from a dream about a fire. And it scared me. I was sweating. I reached up into the glove box, blew the dust off the ghost box, and turned it on. And I had my laptop still plugged in the floorboard. So I put the laptop up on the steering wheel and put the recorder on. Because at the time I didn't have a digital recorder on me. I had to use the laptop. And I set it up on the steering wheel, and I turned the ghost box on and did what Gabrielle told me to do with it. It was it's a Shack Hack 12587 Radio Shack ghost box. In my honest opinion, it's an excellent tool to try to listen in. Not everything you get on a ghost box, by the way, in my honest opinion, is going to be spirits. In fact, there's a great deal of theoretical ideology behind it. We don't really know what we're getting, but I'll tell you one thing, the captures that I did get, and Jen, you said you heard them, you know there's a great deal of incredible odds of the replies that I've got. I mean, they're there. I mean, I've got evidence, but anyway, I turned this ghost box on, started recording it, and I got these replies. I wish you could play it, and then I could tell you, I could give you a synopsis about it. But, anyway, I inquired about the cause of death on the Wilson, North Carolina ghost box, and at one point they actually say house fire in the audio, and then they're talking about burn and burning, and I felt such a feeling of sadness. I sensed fire, death, sadness, and confusion, and I felt so bad. It made me kind of sick. And by the way, that's something I didn't mention. My clairsentience, whenever it happens, and it happens very intensely, when it does happen, if it's intense, in other words, it doesn't always happen intensely, but when it does, I get sick to my stomach. And I have to pull away from it sometimes. It's generally...
Peter got that quite a bit.
Yeah, I know, and that's something that I always found fascinating that him and I had in common. That's interesting you bring that up, because I always felt like that privately. Thank you for bringing that up. The correlation between me and Peter James, that one thing right there, how he also felt an intense sickness. And I'm not sure if that means that it's malevolent, but I would think that it probably isn't the most benevolent of feelings whenever you encounter something that's dark. And that's what I was telling you about opening doors. We got to be careful. The doorways have to be watched. Back to Wilson. That's what I sensed, Sophia. I sensed that a great deal of sadness fired up. And then after that session, I realized that I had something, in my honest opinion, that I could use to further my research. It collected dust. I didn't sense anything. It's sort of like an epiphanistic moment when it happens, just like the little girl and me in the bathtub, and then the sitting there in the truck, and then passing out, falling asleep, and waking up from a dream about fire, and you're staring at a building that had burned down, and you look up at the glove box, and you're thinking, there's that moment that hits you all at once. You've got something. Use it. Try to find out what you can find out. And there, the Ghost Box Trucker and the Ghost Box EVP was born.
Wow.
That's really cool.
Thank you, Sophie. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. So, tell us a little about who are the team investigators of Eastern Paranormal and what are their roles?
Oh, yeah. Well, you've got Darla. And, well, actually, I'm not sure that Darla is still with us. You got Gabrielle, she's a sweetie. I love her to death. She is just an amazing person. And, you know, I'm having trouble with my audio here. Hang on a second. Let me get my audio back there.
No, we got like the audio gremlins are hitting.
Yeah, I'm having a little trouble. Hang on, I'm having trouble. You're breaking up. If I drop, I will call right back, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
I'm having some trouble. Just a second. This audio is giving
me... Yeah, we're running short on time, too. Let's see here. How's it... Does it look like... You still there? I think we got you back. Are you back? Okay.
Yeah, I'm still here. Is there something you wanted to ask me about maybe how much time do I have?
Let's see, about 9 minutes.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I don't want to...
Actually, about eight, yeah. Well, is that okay if we have you back on? Because I really want to work with the audio, and you suggested a site that I didn't even know about, and I was just doing the archaic holding this, you know, the bad recorder to the bad speaker thing, and it just, you know, I don't know if it was feeding back or what came along with it, but.
Yeah.
Do you ever sense or feel anything? Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. Yeah, that's what I'm saying about the audio. It's getting on my nerves. Anyway, I was going to tell you about... There's Michelle, Dirk, Donna, and Jamie, Susan, Mindy, Shan, Athena, Valerie.
Right.
They all have different roles at Eastern Paranormal. It actually is diversified. There isn't any particular roles for each of us. We just... It's a kind of a freelance... set up where each individual person has their different duties for the group.
Right.
Mine is I'm a field investigator. And
now, you've been doing this since 76, right?
Well,
since 1976?
Not for Eastern Paranormal, no. That was when I had my epiphanistic moment with the little girl in the bathtub.
Right.
1976 is when I began my quest. Into finding out what the paranormal was and why what had happened to me happened. You know what I'm saying? In other words, 1976 is when I had my epiphany.
Wow.
And by the way, let me go ahead and explain, because Sophia did ask a good question, and my audio's back now. Part of the reason we're having trouble with the audio is because I live out in the country, and I've got about two bars on the phone that I'm talking to you on right now. So it comes and goes. But in other words, I'm back now. So Eastern Paranormal, our associates we're made up of talented individuals. Even though we're not full-time paranormal members, we donate our time and resources when it's needed most for people
right.
that need our help. And basically, we're together for each and every individual. We come together as a collective if it's something really big that we need to address. Dirk is he is our industrial electricity, industrial mechanics expert. And he's the co-founder of Eastern Paranormal. He's the equipment specialist. Donna is a writer and published author. She holds a doctorate in Spanish, and she has extensive theoretical knowledge and psychoanalytic theory, philosophy, and religions. And then we have Susan. Susan is our photographer. Jamie, she's our security officer. And she was served in the U.S. Army, and she has a keen interest in the paranormal. And Mindy has been fascinated with the paranormal since she was little. And she was brought up by a mother who was very spiritual and had an open mind to all things. And she is also a photographer and has been in photography since she was 7. And
wow.
She works full-time at the University of North Carolina in Wilmington. She's an associate member in training like myself. And then Shan is our youngest member. Shan is a security officer. Athena is a Native American Indian with strong beliefs in nature and natural things, interconnected to all living things. And she holds a bachelor's degree in pharmacy from the University of North Carolina. And her long life interest in the paranormal is in the spiritual realm. She appreciates scientific data behind the power of the paranormal, is interested in discovering the veil between this world and the spirit world. And, of course, we have Valerie, Michelle, and me. And I'm a field investigator, and I do the EVPs, and I try to do video whenever possible. And I hope that answered your question. I apologize about the audio.
Yeah, no, definitely. No, we always like to learn like the different facets and the key roles. Some people have a historian or tech people, and so yeah, just learning the different roles and people. We have a lot of people that reach out to us for networking. They listen to the show to learn about paranormal investigative teams in their area, and that's what we like to do. And like Peter did, get the people the help they need and to find the right fit. So, describing. Yeah, so it's just we like to have well-rounded. Because people do take this to heart, and then they, if they're in your area and they need to seek your assistance, they know as much as they can about your team, too, going into it. So,
and that's why I felt it was important that I went on ahead and went back to that, because it's important that you understand the people that I work with since I'm on your show. It's important that you understand the social and psychological and collectiveness of our group. And how I project myself and how I am a team player, as you said. We're all from diversified areas. My areas out in Northeast Tennessee, Southwest Virginia, North Carolina, Western North Carolina. But if they needed me to help out in Wilmington or somewhere in South Carolina or even, somewhere distant and I could make the time, then I'd be there for the group. So we're not bound together like some PR groups. We're diversified, but we come together as a collective when the need arises.
So,
right?
Maybe,
wow. So, go ahead, Sophia.
I'm sorry.
Are there any upcoming interviews, events, or paranormal investigations you want to mention regarding Eastern Paranormal?
Not at this time. I'm not aware of any events, but I will say if you want to find out more about Eastern Paranormal, you can go to easternparanormal.com, and you can find out. I can actually go to the site real quick and see if she's got any events listed, but I didn't have any in my queue, so to speak. I don't see anything on the main site that is saying that, but I know that Ageless Knowledge TV is a very big thing for Gabrielle. Gabrielle, by the way, is the author of, she wrote 2 books. Her latest book that she wrote is Psalms for My Soul. And I own that book. It's a great book. And that was something I wanted to also mention. I didn't get a chance to bring that up a moment ago, but she...
We'd certainly love to have you back on the show. I know we're out of time, and let's see, the clock's counting down there. But, can we have you back on? And, again, I could work on the audio.
Yeah, and I wanted to – I guess I have no time for my plugs, but I would like to give a shout-out to liveparanormal.com for allowing me to be on today. And, of course, if you would visit fabiantrahan.com or ectophobia.com, you'll find out more about me. There's Krugism.com, my great friends Scott and Debbie Krug. They do the Android apps for the Entity Sensor Pro. They're some of my big fans now. also encourage everyone to go to Facebook.
You couldn't get in the chat room, but I just posted all three links in there, too, so everybody can get to the links as well. But thanks so much,
okay,
Fabian.
Yeah, and y'all be sure to visit Facebook.com/PeterJamesLives. Happy birthday, Peter, on the 28th.
We'll call in, too. That's next Saturday, you know, if you have any memories or anything, too, as well.
Yeah,
thanks,
we'll
Fabian.
Try to get to that. Thank you, Sir Jan and Sophia, on behalf of me and my family and my paranormal research group. I greatly appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to being on again soon.
Thanks,
well,
Fabian. This is the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com, and we're going to be right back with Ben Hansen of Fact or Fake Paranormal Files and in just a moment, so hold on.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
This is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books. And you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom!
Joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, wishing Sophia Temporelli congratulations on her second year as ghost host on LiveParanormal.com.
That's right. Bill's ears must have been burning. This is the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I'm John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me? By the late famed Fox Sighting Psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James. And also, too, I want to make sure everybody knows, I'm trying to scroll down here while I do that, tonight on LiveParanormal.com, starting 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, Paranormal Chronicles, Paranormal Icon, Get Mesmerized, Boundaries of Reality, Raven's Nest, Paranormal Insomniacs, After Hour, Webcam, and Mic Chat. So definitely check those out. Here we have, let's see here, Peter. Peter's working.
Come through, speak to me.
Sophia, you there? Sophia? There you are. Okay, and Ben, hey, thanks for coming on the show.
You're welcome. How's it going, guys?
Great, thanks.
We're good. How are you?
Good. What have you been up to recently?
Nothing much. Just going to school, and that's pretty boring.
You remember
starting?
Well, you know, starting school for me was always kind of depressing. I mean, I like seeing my friends again, but they start those back-to-school commercials, like, in July and telling you that summer's over. And, yeah, and I'm like, it's not over. There's still things to do.
Yeah, my family's all like educators, so they'd always talk about it.
Yeah, during the summer when I was little, I'd always go to my grandma's, and all of our friends, the teachers, they'd be talking about who's the bad kid in school, who's the new principal, what's the teacher's gossip, and I'd be thinking, shut up,
That's brutal.
So, yep. Ben Hansen is a host investigator on Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files and former FBI agent. Ben, describe your work with the Bureau during your work there and how techniques utilized there helped you in your role on Fact or Fake.
Well, you know, the Bureau was one of the last agencies that I worked for. I kind of I worked for, several different public and private agencies. And, of course, the FBI is the one that Sci-Fi wanted to kind of promote and focus most on. But my specialty kind of is not a happy subject. It's severe physical and child sex crimes. So I got a lot of time interviewing victims, perpetrators, witnesses. I think probably that's the thing that I carried over most into doing the paranormal investigating because, you know, a lot of people, for example, you have a case where somebody's called and said, you know, our house has got a lot of activity going on and I want you to come check it out. So you go over there. And in most cases, we're not suspecting that the family or the business is lying or making things up. So a lot of investigators don't even kind of worry about these techniques of deception, detection. And that's kind of where I'm trying to let people know, look, there are a lot of people out there hoaxing. There are also a lot of witnesses who don't have great recollections of things, and interviewing skills are very important to help bring that out. So I think that's kind of what I mostly brought to the team, plus just the overall organization of an investigation and how to look at it scientifically.
So, Ben, my high school I'm going to right now is brand new, and it's actually a career high school, and you have to choose from three career things, engineering, medical, or law and forensics. And I'm currently enrolled in law and forensics at my new career high school. And CIA and FBI are careers at the top of my list of future goals as field suggestions. You know, just like in class, they want to know what you would be interested in. Ben, what core classes did you feel were the most beneficial in your direction to be acquired by the FBI?
Well, that's awesome. I think that's really cool your school does that because I've heard of it. I know there's schools, too, that that are principally, you know, revolve around, like, let's say, TV or film, and, you know, they have acting and all sorts of things in it. And I think those are really cool because it would have been more interesting than what I did. I had just a normal, my school had a lot of, it was kind of a combination of suburban kids and some that were like kind of cowboys, but they didn't even really ride horses. They just wore the hats and the boots. And so,
wow,
there wasn't, the school itself was good, but there weren't many specialty classes like that. I do remember we had a U.S. law class, and we talk about the Constitution and again how laws are made and enforced. And we did a field trip, which was unusual in high school. But we got on a bus, and we went in, and we went to the FBI field office. And I thought that was kind of the turning point because shows like X-Files were really popular when I was in school, and I was like, man, how do I get that job? So high school, it's important to stay focused on probably like some of the sciences, the chemistries, the law is always good. But when you finally get out, you know, go to college, it all depends because their requirements, CIA is the same way. The requirements change a lot as to what they're looking for. Language is always a plus. Anytime you can learn another language. And then engineering and computer IT degrees seem to be the way that, that a lot of them are moving.
Yeah, like I just took a test on my chapter one in street law. I hope I did pretty good. I mean, some of it's, like, confusing, But, like, I just did the homework where, like, we have to read the cases in the books, and one of them, like, they changed the names in some of them, but one of them was called, like, the Shipwreck Sailors, and they're actual cases, and there's some bystanders case. They're not very kid-friendly, some of them, I mean.
Well, yeah, they're not. I mean, like, but you'd be surprised, I mean, because you seem to be, like, right on top of it and probably the top of your class and everything, but you'd be surprised how people actually get through high school not knowing the basics of, like, our country and our Constitution and our rights. It shocks me, you know? And then I start talking about these things to somebody, and they're like, oh, you're so smart, and I'm like, no, they teach you this stuff in elementary and then, you know, junior high again. And so it's really sad. So even just understanding the basics of how our society and country operate, you're going to be far ahead than a lot of people. And then just whatever interests you, pick a field like that and go for it, and then get some work experience after you've graduated.
Yeah, oddly enough, like, my parents liked the movie My Cousin Vinny, and I never really cared about it. I've seen it so many times from them. And I was doing my homework, and one of them, like, had this thing where, like, 38 bystanders witnessed a murder, and, like, one of the questions was, oh, would they, do you think that they should be, like, part of the crime? And I'm thinking, I think there's a law for that. And then I remembered how in the movie that guy who saw the guy, he said, steal a can of tuna, but they thought they saw him kill him, would be an accessory to crime. So my mom was pretty happy that I was able to figure that out.
So you learned it, you remembered it from a movie, huh?
Yeah, they say TV's uneducational. That's awesome. I mean, come on, people.
You didn't have to look it up in the back. There it was, My Cousin Vinny.
That's right. That's hilarious.
So, Ben, how were you approached initially by Sci-Fi Channel to host Factor Fake Paranormal Files?
Well, you know, we kind of found each other. The company-based productions had already been making a lot of great shows. Like, they do sports science on ESPN. They did a show called Crime 360, where they look at... basically, they did really good, like, CGI graphics of, like, a crime scene. And they did have one paranormal show that was a small series on Nat Geo. But other than that, they really didn't know how to do paranormal. And so when I had heard that they were looking to do a new show, I had a team together that was mostly just my friends. And we didn't have, you know, like, a website, like, formally... But we'd go out and we'd investigate, you know, private residences mostly, and had the equipment and stuff. And I'd been into this since I was in college, into the ghost hunting aspect of it. And so I brought in my team. They loved us. And they sat down with us, though, and they said, okay, well, what do you think the show should be about? And I was like, whoa, that's a little backwards. I thought usually they cast for people after they have a concept. But I was lucky in that sense because I was able to start with them from the ground level. And, you know, I've been a fan of shows like Ghost Hunters and Destination Truth was big. And I was like, well, look, this is what I'm seeing on TV right now. And this is what I think is missing, you know. And so I was able to tell them, you know, like maybe a better way of doing this or a different way at least. Some of these angles, like not just going to a place and waiting for things to happen, but actually looking at the evidence we have before we get out there and testing it.
Right.
And we didn't mean for it to end up like Mythbusters. We really didn't. But people started comparing us to that because, well, yeah, we were doing experiments as well. And that's kind of how it got rolling. But it took about a year as they pitched it to Sci-Fi before Sci-Fi signed off on it.
Right.
So, Ben, on one particular episode of Fact or Faked in Argentina, what initially led you to believe a person altered a video captured of an alien? And how did you get him to reveal that he altered the submitted footage?
Yeah, the Argentinian case was interesting because I know when the team presented, I can't remember who initially did. It may have been Bill or someone, but I really, really thought, and this one I kind of have to defend my team on, I'm like, okay, I'll give this a 95% certainty. This is CGI. So sometimes we get flack for that because we really knew this probably was going to end up to be, you know, computer-generated graphics. However, even when you know that, it allowed us to do a lot of different experiments that we haven't tried to show other ways it could have been done. And it gave us the advantage because we get to see how people lie in these situations and when confronted, what is he going to do? And so I wasn't there, but you know, Bill and those who were told me how it kind of came down and they did their experiments. They gave him the benefit of the doubt and nothing was working. They ended up just, I think, went down to the news station wherever it was he worked and started asking around. I don't know if this guy did it himself or he had people at the news station that did it as a prank. But when they confronted him, I think he just kind of stalled and just kind of like, okay, I did it.
Yeah, but you really tightened a noose on the guy, though. pretty neat.
Yeah, you know, and most people are not great liars over time, you know, and as long as there's don't have a whole lot at stake, you know, like, well, even then, but he didn't look like he was really doing it for money or fame. It was just kind of a prank. But when we confront people like that, I really wish they would just come forward themselves, you know, and be like, yeah, it was fun. I did it for fun, you know, because it really damages the field when other people believe it to be real.
Yes.
But, you know, we've had a couple cases like that parts of it didn't even air where I confronted the people, and it was a lot of fun to see them kind of squirm.
So what key factors or criteria do you utilize in determining a case to be worthy to investigate for Factor Fake?
Well, we've got three things. First of all, the evidence has to be compelling. So we have to have either a video or photo of something compelling that generally that we can't easily dismiss. Sometimes, like I said, we'll take on those cases we think really might be CGI just as a challenge to see if it can be done another way, but it's got to be compelling video or photo. Then we've got to have a witness that we can interview. There's a lot of YouTube videos out there that they're really, really cool, but you go to email somebody and you don't know who the original owner of it is, and that creates legal problems, number one, because we can't just have somebody's videos, we don't know who owns them, and then number two, when we get out to the location, we want to talk to somebody. So we have to have a witness. And then the third thing is that we need to be able to do some experiments around it. And that's just kind of the format of the show because, you know, we are kind of centralized and kind of found ourselves that way into the experiments. So it can't be that we can always go out and do like a UFO case and we do lasers on some glass. I mean, people get really bored of that. So we try to choose cases that allow us to do really cool or different things.
Yeah, like firing machine guns. And
exactly. Anytime we can fire a machine gun.
That was cool,
or put
man.
Grenade launchers in the air.
Well, actually, too, I want to... You know, Rob, so I got to let everybody know, more and more people are jumping in the chat room. Feel free to jump into the chat room. This is LiveParanormal.com, the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli. And we have Ben Hansen of Factor Fake Paranormal Files. Someone just called into the show and they dropped out of the queue. But, yeah, feel free to call in, 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. And, again, feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room.
So, Ben, were there any cases that you wish to explore further or cases that you wish had aired on the show?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. I know that we, you know, when we kind of get these case ideas, a lot of times we'll run them by the network to see what they think. You know, we had a Waverly case that we didn't mean it to air at the same time, but the Ghost Hunters, I think, went back to Waverly at the same time, and they're like, yeah, that'll be cool. We'll do a back-to-back Waverly thing. But sometimes we'll bring them a case that was like one of my favorites that we're trying to get good evidence on, and so wanted to see, you know, like, well, if we do this one, are you guys going to like it? What do you think about it? And that particular one was, one of them was the Skinwalker Ranch up in Utah. And
yeah.
I always wanted to do one on that. And I kept bringing photos and video, showing the producers and stuff. And they just didn't feel like we had enough to make maybe some good experiments from. But if you watch Haunted Highway, some of those same producers who were on our show, they borrowed my idea. And they ended up doing it on their show, and it's fine, but that's one that I really liked. And then the Michigan Paulding Lights, I always really wanted to go there myself, because I know when the other team, Bill and his team who did it, they tried driving cars down the road, they tried, you know, flying a plane with a light, doing all these things to determine where the light is appearing. But
right.
If I were to go there, I would really like to maybe set up some checkpoints, you know, set people up with radios. So when that car passes, you can say, okay, the car is now here, the car is now there, you know, and see really where the light appears, because I still believe there might be some really kind of strange refraction of light that's causing those lights to appear, and it might be related to cars. But others who've been there say no, but I just like to see it myself.
Also, you guys blew wide open one that was always a favorite of mine. It was almost like I wanted to go out there, where you sit in the car and the car starts moving. You have the fingerprints of the kids on the back of the car with the powder and everything. And you guys totally went through the history on that and blew that one wide open.
Yeah. And it took a lot of fun. I always had people in San Antonio who were like, man, we used to go there all the time and do this, and now you had to ruin it. But it really did not ruin it. In fact, I think more people go there now because of the show, and maybe they know, okay, well, it's not Ghost Children, but they line up their cars, especially around Halloween and times like that. Like, it'll line up for a half mile to a mile, I'm told, of people waiting to try it out.
Wow.
So, for our paranormal field investigator enthusiasts, tell us about the night vision equipment you offer on your website, nightvisionops.com.
Yeah, I partnered up with Bushnell and their night vision line when I bought a scope from them and started talking, and they're like, hey, you got, you know, a lot of connections with our customer base, you know, because I also am a firearms instructor, and they've got a lot of stuff for that. And I said, yeah, I'd love to consider doing something with you guys. And so I became a spokesperson and a dealer of their equipment. And what I've really been trying to push, though, with them is marketing to the ghost hunting and UFO skywatching groups. Because
right.
You know, kind of, if you're in a ghost hunting group, most people really want, like, the holy grail for some people is a thermal camera. But, you know, FLIR is great. They're great, and we use them all the time. But generally, they're in the range of, like, $6,000 to $7,000, or you might be able to get one now down to, like, $4,000, a decent scope, and they're coming down a little bit in price. But they don't all have, like, SD cards either to record to. So I kind of push these guys, but look, the people I know, they want a thermal that's far more affordable than that, and they want to be able to record to it. So we do have one on the website, like you said, is nightvisionops.com. It's called the TMX. It's really, really pound for pound. It's packed with more features than the FLIR Scout. And then also, if people want to get into filming with their DSLR camera, or with an iPhone even, we have night vision adapters and scopes. So, yeah, it does cost a little bit of money to get into, but for those who are really serious in doing it, this is the best of the best.
Right, also I have Night Vision Ops, the link in the chat room as well.
Well,
thank you, yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, whoever, we could do for this weekend, if they mention that they listen to your show, I could give them a nice little discount, so they just have to contact me.
Oh, cool.
Cool. So, Ben, who are some key figures within the field of the paranormal that you highly respect in their direction of work, old or new today?
Most of the people that I lecture alongside and read their books are involved in the ufology field. The ghost hunting, it really, really interests me. I see most of the experimentation done in the equipment, though. They're just, really kind of trying to find new ways to detect or capture spirit activity. And so much of it now is that kind of so far-fetched that I'm not sure that I want to spend so much time. I think it's interesting, but we're kind of straying away from a scientific basis, in fact. With the ufology, I really respect the people who have investigated the Roswell, the major, like cases, like Don Schmidt, Tom Carey, Dan Friedman. There's also some really good reporters, like Lee Spiegel of the Huffington Post is a good friend of mine. And they write about this stuff, ghosts, UFOs, full time. And they do it without a negative or derisive slant to it where they're making fun of the people who believe in this. He's very neutral and very positive when he does his stories, and so I really appreciate that.
Yeah, we have just over 3 minutes left on the clock, and I know you have the Heritage event coming up. But, go ahead, Sophia.
You go ahead, Dad.
Oh, yeah, do you have any upcoming websites, events, and any promotions that you'd like to mention?
Well, I'm working on – I've got a guy doing my website, doing a makeover of it. You can see the old one at benhanson.com, but I did that by myself, so it was really kind of bad. I got a really, really cool one coming out. It'll have all the events and stuff, but the next one, if you're in Southern California, I'll be at the Ontario Library first or second week in October. I'm also going to be in October doing a MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. I'll do a lecture there. And then we got Stanley Hotel in November. Another one I don't think I can officially mention yet, up in L.A. in October. So, yeah, just go on there and check it out.
And Rex said he was going to be working with you on a project at the Graber House. Is there something there you can mention?
Well, we did. We were at the Graber House. I'm not sure about any. We're probably going to be going back there. We had kind of a party it wasn't the Graber. I've never been to the Graber House. I know they had. I'm so confused about all the places I've been.
Yeah, I think he was talking about the Heritage. Yeah, that's right.
The Heritage. Yeah, unfortunately, I'll be in Minnesota for that event. I won't be able to make that one, but we will have more events up there in L.A.
Well, thank you for coming on my show.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.
Good to see you.
You're having some success, and I hope that everything is everything you imagined in school this year. Enjoy it.
It is. Algebra got worse.
Enjoy it and save some time to study the things you really want to.
Thanks so much, Ben.
I know that you have so many books to read, but at the end of it, you get keep reading is what I always tell people. It's really sad that we don't read. I've got stacks of books, and if you spend more time reading rather than watching TV, you're going to be far better off.
Wow, thanks so much.
Thank you,
Ben. Hope to see you soon.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ben. Yeah, again, Ben Hansen of Factor Fake Paranormal Files. And great show, everybody. Coming up next week, tribute to Peter James, a birthday tribute show. Thank you so much.
This is Mark and Debbie Constantino, EVP specialist at Being on the Ghost Adventures.
You are listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interactive Media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.